Today, I want to talk about how being mixed hypomanic is not a good thing. First, I'm going to do my check-in and let you know that I am talking a bit slowly, and I think I'm slurring my words a little bit because I am, well, I was going to use the word high, but I'm not high. I'm doped up on Seroquel mood stabilizer. I had to take extra because I was super hypomanic today and I felt fine, busy around the house. But then when I sat down, I had still all this energy. My body still had all this energy and it was not feeling good. So I was having that kind of adrenaline energy at night again. And so I had to take extra Seroquel, and by extra, my doctor has approved this. I can take up to 3 extra 100 milligrams at night, for the hypomanic mixed episodes. But the funny thing is, so this huge difference, because earlier today, the last few days I've been hypomanic, energy wise, a lot of hypomanic energy. And, last 2 days, especially, it's really bad. Maybe last 3 days, including today, I've had so much energy that on the one hand, it's been great because I'm getting stuff done at the house, but I realized today that it is a problem because I can't stop. And literally, yesterday wasn't as bad, but 2 days ago and today, I literally did not sit down for 5 hours, and neither did I eat. And that's the part that's not good. And I kept on telling myself, I know I gotta eat, but I'm just gonna do this. And then I go do this, and then I see that this needs to be done, and this need this, and this, and this. I'm gonna eat, but I'm just gonna do this first. I'm gonna do this and this. And that's 5 hours later. Excuse me, that I still haven't eaten. And it's very clear to me that I am not, my mood isn't hypomanic. I wasn't in a bad mood. I mean, my mood's not super, well, that's the thing. I've been cycling. So yeah, even tonight it was a little bit, very depressed, and then I cycled back up. So I have done some cycling, but it's been mostly the energy and then keeping me busy has been keeping me distracted. But I know it's also really mixed because after the 5 or so hours, I'm realizing that I haven't eaten and I'm thinking, I have a problem. This is a problem. I have a problem. And then I started feeling really depressed and nearly to tears because I was feeling so frustrated that I hadn't eaten and I couldn't eat. And it wasn't anything new to me. I realized that this is what I've done for much of my life. And that's probably why I've always been really skinny. I'm thinking all that energy and not eating. Well, I don't know, metabolism too. Probably the hypomania metabolism. But, I noticed hypomanic irritability today. Snapped at my cats a couple of times today, and I was thinking about that hypomanic irritability. The hypomanic irritability is another example of how being hypomanic mixed is not good. And I was thinking earlier, I was like going, okay, because I remember my sister's psychiatrist and then also someone else making a point that, or maybe it was just me making my own point when I was feeling really depressed at a time, that people who are depressed can be irritable as well. So I was trying to think, okay, is there a difference in the kind of depression? Like, how do you figure out whether this irritability is depression irritability or hypomanic irritability? And so, at least for me, I would say I would not be feeling, well, I could be, because mixed, I could be feeling depressed. But also, I mean, if you're depressed, you're depressed, and you can be feel depressed and be irritable. But if you don't necessarily feel depressed or really depressed, and have this irritability, like, you don't even know it's there until you snap. That, for me, is the difference. That, for me, is the bipolar, the hypomanic irritability. Whereas, when I was in the middle of withdrawals off Prozac, and I'll get to that in a second, I was definitely feeling depressed, and I was irritable at times. But you know what? That's just a guess, because being mixed, you just have multiple symptoms at once, right? So in regarding the irritability, how it can be harmful is not only to your cats, but to with your relationships. I have a girlfriend who had a lot of hypomanic irritability and nearly cost her divorce before she was diagnosed. And I remember living with a boyfriend and having a lot of irritability at a time, and I have had that in other relationships, and not really understanding it was bipolar disorder, mostly thinking it was PMS, because my PMS exacerbated the bipolar disorder. Also, you know, you can affect your relationships at work, and can be dangerous, right? Because that kind of irritability is like a fuse that suddenly gets lighted, or you know, you set a match to some gunpowder. And I've had instances where I've been super irritable to when I'm calling like customer service. Now I'm much better, because when I'm irritable and you know, something will come out that's not so nice, I will apologize and you know, say, and actually in with family as well, and at my cats, I apologize to my cats too. So I want to also do a check-in on where I'm at with my meds, because I've gone through not some big changes, but I've gone through a big change. And my next blog post on my website, it's bipolarmixed.wordpress.com. Right? What is it? Yeah. Okay. I mentioned it at the end. Right now, my memory's been really bad. Right now, I can't think of what blog website is. Bipolarmixed.wordpress.com. Anyways, I blog post on the connection between thyroid and bipolar disorder, primarily rapid cyclers. There are a couple of journal articles out there on that, and I will put the links in the blog post. But and I think there's a link in some of the podcast pages that I do give my link to my website. This podcast is posted or published on multiple different platforms, and so I don't know how all the platforms work, but I do include my email address in the metadata that my website in the metadata that I provide. So anyways, I will finish this thyroid blog post soon, but I just want to tell you shortly. I actually had figured this out several years ago, finding a journal article on thyroid after I had started feeling better on thyroid. This is before psychiatric medications, but not completely. Didn't completely resolve the depression. But I did, well, first of all, maybe I should just do a whole podcast on this, but I think I will. I think maybe my next podcast will be on this whole thyroid connection as well. But just briefly to tell you that in the last few weeks, I went back on thyroid, low dose, 25 milligrams. And because it makes me hypomanic, especially with the Prozac, I tapered off the Prozac. So I'm actually completely off the Prozac. With any medication change, it's not fun. I went over to my parents and stayed with them for 2 weeks while I went through this, because the depression can get really bad, obviously, when you're coming off an antidepressant. It wasn't too bad because I was going on the thyroid, which would brought my mood up while and my energy while coming off the Prozac was bringing it down. And it also helped a lot to be around people. I definitely know that if I were doing this at home, it would have been much worse. Because I wouldn't have been distracted and just having company, and I really recommend if you have to go through a similar medication change or going off antidepressant to be around people. Originally, I thought I might have to go into the hospital. I'm gonna tell you that it's working pretty well here. I am still cycling. I'm mixed. I cycled into an agitated depression tonight, and felt really, suicidal, slightly, just minorly suicidal at some point. But didn't last too long. It's kind of interesting, right, how thyroid works. And I have so much more to tell you about that thyroid. So I'm going to save it for the next podcast, making this one a little bit shorter than usual, but actually probably long because I'm talking so slowly. But I have to say thank God for Seroquel, because going through these horrible, agitated, high energy, low mood, mixed episodes is really, 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 they suck. All right. Thanks and have a great day. Hey guys. I first want to just apologize to tell you that this is not the podcast that I just promised in the last podcast. Which was a teaser for doing another interview, which I know you guys really like, and I really like doing them. That's going to be a little bit delayed, has been delayed because I was out of town for a while, and then my dog got really sick, and then I got really sick, and we're both still sick. Luckily, I'm feeling a lot better, no fever, but if I cough during the podcast, I apologize in advance, and I may have to cut the recording. So just a forewarning. So
about a year or maybe a little more, I can't remember, so ago, I started seeing an endocrinologist for, was it just thyroid or just because my, I can't remember why, like, I specifically went to an endocrinologist, but he did a bunch of tests, found out that my, you know, certain hormones were low, my thyroid was low, progesterone was low, estrogen was low, testosterone was low, and yes, women have testosterone, just not as high as men, but it is an important hormone. And so he first started wanting to put me on those hormones, and I did not have good reactions to the testosterone. Made me super anxious. The progesterone, it's like being on like having PMS, not mood symptoms, but I had sore breasts, and it just, that wasn't fun at all either. I may, actually, I think I'm going to try Chaste Berry, which is supposed to balance out hormones. But anyways, if I haven't talked about this before, but I probably have, I am fully menopausal now. And I am young for that, but it runs in the family young. Actually, my mom went through menopause like before 39 because her period stopped at 39 and my sister was 40. Although my sister also has an autoimmune disease, which could have played part to that. So anyways, I'm 50. So anyway, I'm getting off track. So the endocrinologist, he then, you know, said my thyroid was low. Oh, yeah, that's why I went to the endocrinologist. So this is also interesting to my whole thyroid discussion, and I know I've mentioned it before, but so my T3, so we have T4, which is thyroxine 4 and thyroxine 3. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. T4 and T3, and then you're probably mostly familiar with the TSH test, which is thyroid stimulating hormone. I know. That's why it's just better to call it THS. and that's usually what they test first and only to see if it's within a normal range. But it's this whole normal range thing's very questionable. If you do the research, they've changed what the normal range is 6 times over the last 25 plus years, maybe 30 years now. So they don't really know. And there are plenty of people that are within normal range of THS that still have low thyroid symptoms, particularly women have a lot of thyroid issues. But anyways, it took until I had a really good doctor finally that would start referring me out to the specialist, because before that, these doctors and PAs I were seeing would just, like, if they had no idea what it meant, they would just ignore it. So anyways, he did do the thyroid test and did find that my thyroid was low, which was interesting that my THS was low because it hadn't been low before, but maybe menopause affected the THS. Because before I had normal THS, but low T3. So he put me on thyroid, and the thyroid made me hypomanic. And that's actually not surprising to me because before I was on any antidepressants or mood stabilizers, the thyroid helped my mood and helped my energy. And I was within normal range. That doesn't mean that I didn't need a little bit of thyroid though. As I said, normal is very questionable. But then what happened was she gave me too much and then I had to go off it. And I'm starting to think that at least for me, thyroid can possibly change back and forth. And it's really important if you're on mood stabilizers to get your thyroid checked regularly, I'd say every 6 months, because especially lithium, and I've told you before, I don't like lithium because it has some severe and permanent side effects, and thyroid will affect your lithium, Seroquel will affect your lithium. I think many of the mood stabilizers will affect your thyroid and I say affect lithium, affect thyroid. I'm a little brain out, dead, little brain out of it because I'm sick. Anyways, my thyroid was low. He put me on thyroid, just the generic Synthroid, and made me hypomanic. But I was on Prozac at the time. And so we started tapering down on the Prozac, and I was still hypomanic. And so then I went off the thyroid. So I actually went through this process a couple of times where I'd lower the Prozac, go in thyroid again, and it would still make me hypomanic. So on the third round, because then what would happen was my thyroid would still be low, I'd be depressed. The Prozac wasn't doing enough at the level it was, because if I raised the Prozac, then I'd become hypomanic. And when I say hypomanic, I especially am talking for me, the energy, because I have the mixed symptoms and I get hypomanic or a lot of energy, especially in the evening when I don't want that energy, and it's very uncomfortable. They also call it agitated depression. But I can, of course, get the energy and I'm not depressed, which not being depressed, of course, is the goal. So this third time, I decided to go off the Prozac entirely, because I'd rather be on, I think it's more important to take care of, I did some research, it's more important to take care of your thyroid than to be on an antidepressant. I mean, obviously, I want to not be depressed. But if it's the thyroid's making me, elevating my mood, then that seems like the better choice than the antidepressant, because, having a low thyroid can cause, secondary health issues. So that's what I did. So I've been off the Prozac 3 months, 3 to 4 months now. It's been about 4 months, and you know, it was hard going off, definitely had withdrawals and so forth. But I never got seriously depressed. And I should mention, I'm still on Zoloft. So Zoloft's mostly for anxiety for me. The SSRIs work on anxiety for me. So I decided, so I'm still hypomanic, and I'm on the Zoloft, so I decided to start tapering down on the Zoloft. And so I started doing that, I guess it's been, I don't know, two months? Not quite 2 months, month and a half. But at this point, I had to stop, I missed a big jump. I had to stop taking the thyroid before I tapered off the Zoloft, because I was still hypomanic. So I was off the Prozac, but I was still hypomanic. And so I stopped the thyroid because I and it's a hard, hard choice, because when I have hypomanic energy, well, the thyroid lifted my mood, but I had the hypomanic energy at night, which was not fun. It's not like, you know, a lot of people who are hypomanic, or sometimes when I get really for me, really hypomanic is hardly hypomanic at all. But like if I have euphoria, you know, of course I don't mind the energy during the day, but at nighttime, you know, when I'm moving, but the restlessness is just very horrible for me. So anyways, I'm not on thyroid and I was still hypomanic, and I'm like, so after 2 months, so we, you know, we stopped the thyroid, and after a month, it should have been out of my body. So here I am, I'm at 2 months and I'm still hypomanic. So I'm like, first I thought, well, maybe I'll raise the SSRI, because, not on the mood stabilizer. When I've been on SSRI before and it's been raised, cause I take a super low dose of Zoloft, I'm on a half. Well, before I was on a half of 25. And that was enough for me. But I am super low dose pretty much everything. So I decided to raise SSRI because before when I would raise the SSRI, I would actually become apathetic, which makes sense to me if, like, if something makes you not anxious, so a medication that mellows you out or calms you down, if you times that by 10, you can get apathy, right? So that makes sense how that Zoloft worked on me. But I raised it and then I became hypomanic, which you would expect from someone who's bipolar, but I did not expect that. So then I had to start tapering off the Zoloft. And so I tapered back down and I kept on tapering, and I kept on, well, the hypomania was, you know, decreasing. And then it got to a point where I was like, okay, if I decrease the Zoloft anymore, I think I'm going to start falling into depression, right? Which would be the norm for me. And so I'm completely off the thyroid. The thyroid's out of my body, but I'm still hypomanic. So I'm thinking I'll have to go off the Zoloft. So I keep on decreasing the Zoloft, keep on waiting to fall into a depression. And now I'm on, what, like 3 months without any thyroid and tapering off the Zoloft for about a month now. I am on a quarter of 25 milligrams, which seems to be my sweet spot. And this is what is so shocking to me. We tested my thyroid. It should have been completely, that was about a month ago. It should have been completely out of my body because that had been 2 months. And my thyroid was normal. Actually, it was a little high. So I don't know if it's just taken a super long time to get out of my body, but then it's been another month and I'm still not depressed. I still have not fallen into depression, and I'm really shocked, but also very excited, because even though I'm off the thyroid, it's like that thyroid did something to me. I have a secondary theory as well, but the first theory is that the thyroid, like, somehow pushed a button, kicked in my thyroid into action. So now it's working normally, but I do have to have it tested again to see where my levels are at. Either that or around the same time I went on thyroid, of course, I did research and I found out again, because I actually had the bottle already, that selenium, S-E-L-E-N, selenium, well, you figure it out, selenium, it helps support thyroid function. So I went on the selenium as well. So now I'm wondering, is it the selenium that is helping my thyroid? I'm not sure. If I stop the selenium, maybe that will determine it. But I'm going to get a thyroid test and see where that is as well. Another one. But I keep crossing my fingers, but I have not fallen back into a depression, which is very shocking because it has been like 12 years. How's it? 12 years that I have been in this horrible suicidal depression that's unmedicated, right? So I had to share this with you guys. And I'm not recommending anything, and I can't anyways because I'm not a doctor, and I have to make sure I make that clear as a disclaimer. I'm not a doctor, and any of my recommendations or opinions are just opinions. So, but you know, always I always say do your research and figure out what feels best to you. And use your intuition. So I will, of course, update you guys as I go. But I'm pretty excited because I feel good and I think I'm like at normal, because now that I've tapered down to the quarter of 25 milligrams, 8.5 milligrams of Zoloft, And I'm wondering if I need to be on that at all. But I think I should, because I have noticed my anxiety is getting worse, and I've been noticing things with my anxiety that I didn't notice before. So the weird stuff I've been noticing with anxiety is, and I realized growing up that I had these issues as well, but I didn't know it when not being on anti-anxiety or antidepressants, for most of my life, not being on them. But for instance, you know, I said my dog's been sick, and a couple of times this week, you know, she's been sleeping, you know, just very still. And I have this, I look at her and then I have this fear, what if she's dead? And, you know, there's like 1% of rationality there. No, maybe a little more, 5% of rationality there, but otherwise it's, you know, very irrational. And, I realized growing up, I would have these anxieties, like driving over a bridge, thinking what would happen if my car fell over the bridge. I mean, kind of doom related anxiety, which is funny because, I haven't talked to you guys at all about this, but, I'm actually an empath and very intuitive as well. And, when a spirit does talk to me quite often, and they're always about, danger, things that are going to happen, which you might think that's in my mind, but unless I can read the future, which who knows, and I say that because when you get to a point that you've had all these experiences that are supernatural, you just kind of, you know, think almost anything's possible now. I, you know, just noticed I can be a little more anxious about things, but yet in contrast with me not being depressed, I have more confidence. And I just feel so, so blessed and so lucky to not be depressed when I went out of town, because it helped me get through it. And, it would have been a struggle to get through it otherwise. So please cross your fingers for me. If you are the kind of person that prays, I'd appreciate your prayers that, this keeps going. Because, you know, I feel kind of excited about maybe having a life now. And I mean a life outside of my home, that maybe I, you know, once, I'm well and my dog's well, that I can start doing some social activities and have a life. I mean, you know, I've always been so social, so being so isolated feels like I'm not, you know, having a fulfilling life that I want to have. So I'm really praying and hoping for that. At the same time, I wonder, you know, God is amazing, or the universe is amazing, or whatever you believe in. I am very spiritual, and I will tell you, I used to be an atheist and then agnostic, and just through all my experiences, I know that there is a higher power, and I absolutely know it, because whenever I I'm worried, I just put my faith in that higher power, and then good things happen. That doesn't mean that bad things don't happen, like my dog, because it looks like it's not terminal, but lifelong. But she can be treated and have a decent life. And that was really bad. And that came after something that was really good. So I always look for the light in the dark place. Try to make lemonade out of lemons. So, I know I'm getting a little off track there, but, feeling very hopeful about this. The other thing I've noticed with the lowered serotonin, and with the lowered Zoloft, is that my tics are worse. Normally they would get worse and show up later in the day as the hypomanic energy kicked in, because the hypomania also always made my tics worse. And that was really frustrating, but that's why I'd take the benzodiazepine Valium to help with those. But I've noticed that they've been bothering me during the day, and that's kind of a bummer. So hoping that that's just a side effect that will kind of even out, but it may not. I've had tics all my life, and I know that that's not as common for someone that has bipolar disorder, but tics are certainly common with people that have mental illness. And I wonder for me if that was because of strep throat infections. And I've mentioned that before. You can look that up. It's called PANDAS, like a panda bear with an S on it and on the end. Can cause tics and OCD in children. The OCD is definitely inherited, though. That runs in my family. All right, so I'm going to end here. I will continue to update you on my mood, of course, because that's kind of what this podcast is about, right? And I will be doing that interview with that male friend that also suffers from bipolar disorder. My next podcast I'm going to do right now, talking about CBD, CBD oil, which is basically marijuana, or hemp. You know, hemp is the more pretty word for it. And then hopefully, we'll get that interview done. I don't know when it's going to be. We got to get better here. But once I feel comfortable, that my dog's better, I can take her out. I'll do that interview unless I can convince him to come here, but kind of makes more sense to go, meet him where we do our support group meeting. All right. As usual, love your, 5-star reviews. That helps encourage me to keep going. And love your feedback. I absolutely love, love, love your feedback and love your questions. So please keep that going. And don't forget that you can leave comments on my blog as well. I haven't written there in a while, but I probably will talk about this thyroid issue is there. And stay tuned for the next podcast if you're going to listen, or I will talk to you later.